Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Material Issues. I'm your host tonight, Mark Hirschberger. This is episode number 52. That's 1 year, 1 year of Material Issues. So it's a bit of a celebration tonight. When David and I started this whole thing a year ago, we thought, we'd do a few episodes, we'd talk together about music, and we'll see where it goes. Well, 51 episodes later, as we now do 52, we have had the extreme pleasure of doing this every week with many fantastic guests, which we didn't actually plan on when the whole thing started. We thought, maybe we'll get somebody in to talk with us. Who knows? But we've had the distinct pleasure of talking with so many wonderful musicians, artists, authors, you name it. It's all happened here over the last year on Material Issues. Now, this is a celebration. It's 1 year. And you might say, well, Mark, you normally say this is Mark Hirschberger of Pop Detective Records and joining me. And this is where it's not quite going to happen that way tonight. David Bash, my co-host, is in Liverpool, England, at the Cavern Club and also the Cavern Pub, where International Pop Overthrow Liverpool is happening right now. Now, they're 5 hours ahead, so he's right in the middle of live acts. Over 100 live acts will be playing the Cavern Club and Cavern Pub this week at International Pop Overthrow Liverpool. So, David will be joining us live from his laptop and or cell phone. They're both working fine right now, from the Cavern Club Liverpool. So you're going to get a taste of what it's like to be at the Cavern tonight. So I thought to myself, I don't want to sit here myself waiting for David to pop up. I would love to have a veteran co-host of Material Issues and, even more importantly, a Beatles nut like I am, but a Beatles author. He has recently written The Beatles 100, 100 pivotal moments in Beatles history, and that book has sold so well, it's going into a second printing and paperback this summer. So, I'm really happy to have him back. He does get his Paisley socks for being a multiple-time co-host here on Material Issues. So if everybody please join me in welcoming my good friend, author, musician, Beatles nut, Mr. John Borak.
Hello, John. Mark. Hello. How you doing?
Excellent. Nice to see you. You're mid-afternoon for you, early evening for me. And welcome to episode number 52, 1 year of Material Issues. Thanks for joining me tonight, my friend.
Oh, it's always exciting to be here. I feel like, you know, that Saturday Night Live skit, the Five Timers Club, when you host the show five times. I've co-hosted this with you. I think I'm part of the Three Timers Club.
Or something. Yes.
Maybe four times I've been on, but it's always fun to hang out here with you and David.
I think it's four times. That's why it's Paisley socks. It's not the jacket yet. We're working to the jacket.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that you and David started this and you kind of had no idea where it's going to go. And the fact that you've had me on multiple times means you're going straight in the dumper.
Yeah, we're desperate, man.
I'm here to take you down and drive down your viewership with my meandering musings here. But no, it's always fun to be here, talk about music and hang out with you guys.
Well, it's wonderful. I mean, you're wearing a Beatles hat. You've got a great Let It Be t-shirt on. Most people can't see this, but I've got All My Loving is the t-shirt that I have on. So I had to get my Beatles shirt on. As you heard, David Bash will be joining us live from the Cavern Club, the legendary Cavern Club on Matthew Street in Liverpool. It's 100 yards up from the original Cavern Club, but rebuilt underground with many of the original bricks. It has that same aura and feel as the original. So International Pop Overthrow Liverpool is going on right now, and over 100 acts are playing the Cavern, and directly across the street is the Cavern Pub, which is just as cool. So bands are playing on both sides of the street for this whole 9-day festival. So it's very cool. But speaking of the Cavern Club, I as you're a drummer, and you play with Beatles tribute that you play with a lot of different artists. Could you imagine what it would have been like for Ringo to sit behind the drum set at the Cavern Club in the early days, with the place being packed to the hilt, the walls sweating, and the three guys in front of him just rocking like crazy? How great must that have been?
Oh, I mean, just the most amazing feeling for him, especially being, you know, sort of the new kid on the block in 1962 when he joined. He had played with them a few times previous, but, you know, when he joined, you probably know this, there was a lot of controversy. You know, people didn't want Best to be out.
Yeah.
And yeah. People were booing and they were upset. George Harrison got a black eye the first night that Ringo played. He had a little slugfest after the gig with somebody in the audience who was a Pete Best fan. But, you know, Paul has said, you know, once Ringo got behind us there and kicked in, you know, me, John, and George, we looked at each other on the front line and went, wow, this is it. And so that was the moment. And that's where it happened, the Cavern.
Imagine how huge they had to have been prior to Ringo even joining for the crowd to have that kind of backlash that Pete Best was out and Ringo was in. I mean, growing up, I saw a lot of bands live in clubs and things, and, you know, guitarist would change, a drummer would change, whatever it may be. And nobody really freaked out over changes in bands that much, but people went crazy that Pete Best was out. And there was a period there where, you know, the talent had to rise above and convince everybody that they're even better with Ringo. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding, meaning if you listen to some of the songs that they recorded with Pete and then later with Ringo, you know, they did a version of I Saw Her Standing There with Pete. They did a version of Money they recorded with Pete. You listen to those songs and then you listen to Ringo playing them. And it's really a night and day difference, just
right.
The energy, the creativity that Ringo brought to the band, not to mention later his personality, you know, being not quite as shy and moody and, you know, as Pete was, you know, more outgoing and sort of joyful, just, you know, took everything to a whole nother level.
But was it, and you would know this better than I, even though I've read a lot, but was it true that even early on that George Martin didn't look at Ringo as, you know, a top-notch drummer, and that's why what Andy White was kind of brought in originally? There must have been some hesitation there before Ringo proved his merit, you know.
Yeah, you know, it was their first recording session, and Ringo was still the new guy, and George Martin didn't know much about him, so he just brought in another drummer. You know, George Martin later said it was more for safety's sake, but Ringo, of course, felt, you know, his quote at the time was, they're doing a Pete Best on me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just here for a show and this guy's going to be doing all the recording. George Martin said he didn't feel that way. It was more of a comfort thing. You know, first time in the studio, we want to make sure everything goes well, so we're going to bring in Andy White. But, you know, honestly, Love Me Do is not one of their best songs, and it's not one that's really drum heavy. And, you know, the Andy White version and the Ringo version are not that different. Now, if you listen to the Pete Best version earlier, that's different because Pete always had that same sort of leaden four on the floor beat that you couldn't pull him off that thing with a damn crane.
Right.
But Ringo and Andy White, it wasn't all that different. You know, there's two versions out there. There's a version with Andy White on drums.
Right.
Another version with, and that version has Ringo on tambourine. Right. Another version with Ringo on drums, but not all that different, actually.
Yeah. And as you said, it wasn't one of their better early tunes, and it wasn't really a drum specific tune that anybody could really kind of pull off okay. If my eyes keep kind of going down here to the left, everybody that's watching, it's just because I'm watching David Bash, his live feed, in case he gives me the thumbs up, because we don't want to bring him up during bands playing, because all we'll hear is a bunch of, you know, type of thing. But
crowd going wild.
Actually, he had done a little picture of the crowd there. It was a nice crowd late at night on a Wednesday night in Liverpool. The other thing about Ringo, though, is just how professional he was even early on. Not only was he bang on as far as a drummer was concerned, but just his style and the way he presented himself. Because I always look at that time when he had the illness, the tonsillitis, whatever it was, and Jimmy Nicol, they pronounce it Nicol or Nicole?
Yeah, like, Nicol, yeah.
He jumped in, and then there's some video of him drumming, and it's just completely a different thing. You know, he just has this much different style. It's, I mean, he was known as a very good studio drummer, but live, he just didn't come across as well as Ringo always has.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if I'm Jimmy Nicol up there playing with the Beatles in 1964, I'm probably shitting my pants just to, you know, I mean, it's the biggest band in the world with screaming, you know, but then again, they might not even have heard him anyway. They were all screaming so loudly, but he did okay. I mean, he held down the fort. He kept the beat, you know, he was certainly no Ringo. There's an interesting book. I actually have a copy right behind me here that was written about Jimmy Nicol called The Beatle Who Vanished.
Yes, I've read that. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
And he's still, as far as we know, he's still alive. And where's he living? South America or something?
That's where he was last time he was tracked down. Yeah. He sort of is kind of elusive at this point. But
I'm trying to get him here on Material Issues.
Well, it's easier to get a live feed from Liverpool than it is to find Jimmy Nicol.
But I mean, yeah. Think of it. Think about it. You know, you're called up at the last moment. You're brought on tour real quickly. Now, granted, they only played 22 minutes or so, so it's not like he had to learn an entire catalog. He was doing pretty straight ahead rock and roll basic Beatles fare. But but as you said, still it had to be mind blowing to sit back there with all the screaming and the craziness and trying to keep it together.
Yeah. And that, and you know, people think, and I may have mentioned this to you before and David before, I don't recall, but people think that, you know, Ringo's drumming was so basic and so easy and so simple to replicate. And as you mentioned, I play drums in a Beatles cover band. We're called Let It Be. We play all around Orange County, California here. And, you know, learning how to play those songs and just even coming within 500 yards of the sound that Ringo did, it's like, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Those songs are not easy to play, whether it's the early ones, the middle period ones, or the later ones, you know, you just try to get some sort of the feel. There's no way you'll ever get close to Ringo. You know, even when Paul's current drummer, Abe, plays the songs now in concert, he doesn't play them like Ringo.
Right.
He kind of puts his own stamp on them, which is cool. But you don't know whether he does that because he wants to put his own stamp on them or because he can't really play them like Ringo played them, because
who knows, unique
and so creative as a drummer. And, you know, it's really a joy for me to even attempt to replicate what he did. It's just so much fun. He was so great. Still is.
No, that's awesome. And you know, as you have done, I've watched every YouTube video on Beatles Live. You know, I've got DVDs, I've got everything. I've watched it closely. And then I've gone out and seen some of these top tier Beatles tribute, these national touring acts or whatnot. And it's interesting to watch the drummer and watch, you know, exactly what they're bring me up. Well, David said, bring me up. I don't know what he just texted me to see how close they are approximating Ringo's style. But let's see if we can pull David up here.
Some are really good.
Let's see. There's David Bash.
That's right.
Well, he's just.
All right, everyone. That was really awesome. I mean, one of my favorite power pop bands of recent vintage. So sophisticated, so smooth. Give it up one more time for Caper Clowns from Odense, Denmark. They've got CDs for sale at our merchandise table. Well, everyone, we are live on Material Issues right now. Let's give a big shout out. Come on, everyone. Tavern Club Crowd.
Look at that.
That's right. I'm going to put this down for just a minute so I can show off the wares, and then I'll be right back up. Okay. All right. So at our merchandise table, we have these amazing 18th anniversary IPO Liverpool t-shirts. Take a look at this. A beautiful design.
I know everybody's kind of watching, John. And
a beautiful design in front, designed by our graphic artist, Steve Stanley.
That's David Bash, live in Liverpool.
Very live.
Very live.
Here at the Cavern Club and Cavern Pub. And on the back, we have the names of all 105 bands from near
105
far
bands
who are playing this festival. That's right, 105.
And there's a band right now checking in live.
Red and white. We have we don't have all lady sizes in red anymore, but we've got all men sizes.
T-shirts are selling fast. I see they're almost sold out in red.
Definitely going fast. We're only halfway through the festival, and we sold more than half of them. So I implore you to pick them up tonight.
I wonder if he has his ear plugged in and can hear
the festival.
I don't know, but he's imploring.
All right, we've got lots more for you coming up at International Pop Overthrow. Hold on. Yeah, this is what we call a sophisticated arrangement and technology. That's right. But up next, we have a band who's come from all the way across the Atlantic to do their power pop, and you will love them. James Clark Institute, up next.
James Clark Institute out of Chicago, I think.
No, out of Toronto.
Toronto.
Yes.
Toronto.
It ends in an O. It's close enough.
Ends in an O, and it's a little bit further south.
Hello, David.
Hello. Say hi to Material Issues, James.
Oh, wow, live.
Yeah, they're about to go on.
Hello, everybody.
Woo. Hello.
Can you hear?
Good evening. Can you hear them? Yes, we can hear them. We can hear them. We can see them fine.
They can't hear you. He's saying good evening. Let me try and do this without the. Let me see what happens.
Back here, it should be okay.
Me?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Wait, but hold
David
on.
David Bash, live from the dressing room in the Cavern, Matthew Street, in Liverpool.
It's got that AM radio sound to it. I love it.
Hey, all right. You. All right, I can hear you guys.
Good
hey,
evening. Hi. Nice to see you. You going on next?
Cool. I live in Toronto. Getting ready? I'm in Liverpool.
Toronto in Liverpool. Yeah, we can hear you. The James Clark Institute from Toronto coming up next.
Can you hear Kane?
Yes.
Can
you hear us?
Oh, probably because, let me try this.
Maybe everybody, this is live from the Cavern in Liverpool. This is why we're sitting here going, wow. And we can't hear each other, but it's still kind of neat.
Hold on. We're not done here yet.
No.
Our work is not done here.
Our work is not done. Matter of fact, John, right near that dressing room, I hear you fine. Yeah.
Right. Mark, hey, how are you?
Good to see you. Good to see you. All the way from Toronto. Are you excited about doing your set tonight?
I am very excited. I should probably use the washroom before I do my set.
You should do that.
That's always a good idea. Yes.
You can ask David. I've had some.
I'm a semi-professional. I'm going to hold it in.
Well, good luck, my friend. Right, Have a great set.
Thank you.
All right, we've got Caper Clowns bringing their gear back in.
Right about that.
We have.
Where are the Caper Clowns from?
They're from Odense, Denmark. Say hi to
Odense.
Hello.
Good to see the Caper Clown from Odense, Denmark.
You tell us.
Well, I think your set was amazing. I mean, you guys are one of my favorite bands ever. So
very nice.
I'm 98% Danish on my paternal side. So there you go.
Wow, I had a cheese Danish for breakfast.
See, and John had a cheese Danish for breakfast.
Let's see what we can do here as far as showing stuff. I don't know if we're going to freeze or you're going to hear me or what. But
well, John, David, take us on a tour of the Cavern Club.
I don't know if I can't hear you at the moment.
You're good.
This is the backstage of the Cavern. It's kind of cool that they put the front stage image up there on the back of the screen. Here's four guys you may recognize.
That's the members of KISS, I believe, right?
Are you getting that?
Yes. Look good.
Gene,
you guys
Paul,
can continue
Ace,
to make fun of me because I can't hear you.
No, you look good.
Hello, gentlemen, ladies. Yeah.
Hi, Mark. Hi, John.
Hello. Hello, welcome this to Material Issues.
Andy Hartman, who listens every week.
Oh, Andy, hi, good to see you. Nice to see you.
All right, so
that's pretty cool.
This is the bar. Yeah.
Can you get me a drink while you're there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm a little. Cheers. Right.
And that's David.
Oh my
here.
God, we've got Flash Gold. Steven Wilson, Mark, Dan.
Hey.
Good to see you guys.
Steven. What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
I can't hear what you said.
He can't hear you, so we just have to wave.
All right, here we go.
Can I flip him off?
Hey. I'm
hey.
Very close. I can't
How
hear
you
anything
doing?
Now.
It's all right.
Again.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
The real fun's over there.
Yeah, now, indeed.
Look at my face instead. Or Mark. This is David Bash.
We don't know who that is.
The bringer of the IPO. He overthrows Pop internationally.
Wow.
For many, many years.
He overthrows a lot of things. That's why I've got Pepto Bismol next to me.
Thank you.
Okay. What do we want to do next?
Here's a really cool image.
I guess they played the cavern on November 5th, 1963. So that's
the Stones.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see where else we can go here.
I was telling David earlier today, Ashley Campbell played the front stage.
What?
Glenn Campbell's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my phones back in so I can hear you.
Dude, you got a little acne problem right there.
I think we're done with the interview portion for the moment. Hold on.
Okay. We're good. We're having fun. I don't know how many music interview programs are doing live from Liverpool. I think he's in the bathroom right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
I
you hear us?
Now.
Ah, cool. No, we saw everything, David. It was all good.
All right, cool. I can try to take you into the other room, but I think I'm going to lose.
Yeah, you're already getting choppy. You're getting choppy.
Right now, yeah, I think you are. It's
yeah.
Not
choppy. My famous story, John, from being at the cavern is back there at the backstage. I got
Mark,
food poisoning.
John,
yeah.
What size t-shirt do you want?
2XL.
I feel Liverpool shirt. 2XL?
2X.
You too?
2X.
2X. Both 2XL. Of us.
Do we have enough 2XL blacks to give to Mark and John?
You know, I love that we're at the epicenter of British music, where it all began, the Beatles and the Mersey Beat, and they're playing Queen Clearwater Revival.
I think we can, but I can't guarantee it right now.
All right, if you see him and grab him, that'd be great, man.
Wait, what?
I said, yeah. If you see any 2Xs and grab them, that'd be great. I almost wore my 2013 shirt.
Say again? Sorry.
I said I almost wore my 2013 shirt, but if you have the new ones, that'd be great in 2X for John.
Yeah, why didn't you?
I forgot. I had the Beatles All My Loving shirt on.
Oh,
as
all
close
right.
as I could find.
And I had the Beatles Let It Be shirt on.
Which is certainly appropriate. I'm gonna head over to the stage.
All right.
And a hush fell over the cavern.
You wanna pop back on when you're settled in?
Yeah, I mean we can go more than an hour. I mean it's
yeah,
our show.
Yeah.
We do what we want.
So John and I are gonna talk a little bit more about some Beatles stuff and then you pop back up.
Hey Andy, there's our great sound engineer. Say hi to Material Issues. There you go.
Always
He's
good
awesome.
To have a great sound
yeah,
engineer.
No, all the engineers here are awesome.
This looks
John,
like,
here's the drums you could be playing on one day.
One day, if I win the lottery, I'm there.
Ah, you won't have to win the lottery.
Here's the drum.
All right. I'll let you guys get back to it. And I'll send you another. I tried to give you the thumbs up, but you couldn't see it.
No, okay.
So I'll just send you another test or Facebook message. If the text doesn't go through, look at both. And
happy 1 year anniversary of Material Issues, my friend.
Likewise, Mark. It's been an amazing year. Anyway, all right.
All right. Well, I have that was David Bash live from the Cavern Club. Now the cavern is underground, so that's kind of makes it a little difficult sometimes with the internet connection. And depending on what time it is, it was much better about an hour and a half ago. But you know how internet connections are. But that was David Bash live from the Cavern Club in Liverpool, Matthew Street. I was telling you, John, I have a funny story. Second time I was over for IPO when I had the Deadbeat Poets playing there and whatnot, I had been eating for a couple of nights a fish pie from this local restaurant. Delicious. That lunchtime, I went up to the restaurant and I said, do you have any fish pies? And they're like, we have one left. And I probably should have at that point said, you know what? I'll have something else since they said we have one left.
We have one left from last Thursday.
But I had it. I ate it. I went back to the hotel because I had to get merchandise for that night's show, blah, 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 blah. And I took a little nap and I woke up and I wasn't feeling too well. But I grabbed up all the merchandise and I headed over to the cavern and I went down like the, you know, it seems like three flights of steps, but I guess it's like maybe a flight and a half. Mm-hmm. And I got up to the merch table and there were bands at that time. There were bands for IPO playing the front stage and the backstage, the famous stage and the backstage. I put all the merchandise out and man, I started spinning and I was not feeling well at all. And I was like, you know what? I got to get to the men's room, which is in the back part of the stage where David was showing. And there's a long hallway down to the left of the stage at the time. I don't know if it's changed at all that led to the men's room. All I remember is cutting through the crowd as a band was playing. Everything's going just crazy in my head, and I'm running down the hallway. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. There's people over me going like this, saying, are you okay? Are you okay, mate? And, you know, I can't do a Liverpudlian accent. Wow. But I said, what happened? They said, well, you ran down the hallway straight into the wall. knocked yourself out. Long story short, I ended up with food poisoning and I was back at the hotel for two straight days.
Oh,
in the bathroom.
And I imagine one hell of a headache.
One hell of a headache.
Wow, yeah.
48 hours of, I remember crawling down the hallway of the hotel to get to the vending machine to buy as many ginger ales as I could because I was dehydrated. But the cell phone connection at that time wasn't that great. So I couldn't even call one of the Deadbeat Poets who were on the other side of Liverpool in their hotel to say, help. You know, I can't be around. They didn't know what happened to me. I couldn't get word to David. I was just in the hotel bathroom. And that's my Liverpool 2013 story.
Wow. Well, I've been told that, you know, too much fun at IPO, eventually you hit the wall, but I didn't
you
know.
Hit the wall.
Literally. Of the wall.
Literally. Wow. But
yeah, that's I don't have any exciting IPO stories like that. I've never passed out at an IPO. I've been friends with David for gosh, almost 30 years now. And so I was around, you know, I've been around for all the IPOs. I remember the first one, and specifically the Orange County, California show, which I assisted Dave with a little bit. We had a TV crew out there from the old company I used to work for. We had a mobile production truck and four cameras out there videotaping everything. And I remember that has to have been one of the craziest bills. It was amazing. It was Paul Myers playing, Chris Dorn of the Beatifics, The Sun Sawed in Half.
Oh, wow.
Bill Lloyd, Jeffrey Foskett, Kyle Vincent, and 2020, all on the same bill.
That's crazy.
It was and it was outdoors at this beautiful amphitheater, and it was still is the hottest day on record in Orange County. It was middle of summer. It was almost 115 degrees out there. This amphitheater had no shade. So when you watch the video, it looks like no one is there because everyone is huddled for these three pieces of shade that are on the very side of the venue. But it was so much fun. It was just, you know, so much great music. There's a video that exists somewhere that I think Justin Fielding was going to use as part of the, well, he's threatening to use it as part of the Power Pop movie. I think that's scheduled to come out in 2038.
38. I think they've upped it to 38.
Justin, if you're watching, I'm just kidding. We love you.
That's right.
The movie's going to be great. I've been waiting.
Yeah.
I keep running into the wall though.
We jest, but just the fact that you're doing it is fantastic. So
yes, definitely.
Everybody looks forward to it.
That was a fun IPO memory.
I remember I was out in LA whenever I went down with David for an Orange County IPO. It wasn't that one. It was a subsequent one it was a big carnival going on or something.
Which was
a lot of fun. That was a blast. But sticking with the Beatles theme we got going on tonight, here's a question for you. I know you saw McCartney last week, you said. Mm-hmm. And I've seen McCartney a number of times, but not recently, not on this tour, obviously. Why do you think he rarely plays, or I've never seen him play or even seen really videos that much, "I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You"?
You know, I don't know why he's never played them or rarely played them, but on this tour, I think he's sticking with the tried and true. This set list is not all that different from when I saw him in 2019. Happened to be lucky enough to be in the crowd at Dodger Stadium here in LA when Ringo came out and played on the encore with him. That was an amazing moment. And the set list, my daughter and I saw him last Friday, not that different from that show. And I think, you know, the guy's almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
So he's going to do things he feels comfortable with. And, you know, he probably could do those songs, but he doesn't want to do them. And like I, you know, somebody was posting online yesterday complaining about the set list and complaining about this and why doesn't he do this song? Why doesn't he do that song? And I just said, you know what? He's Paul McCartney. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what you think. And we should all just be thankful. He's still out there doing this. Yeah. And he sounds good. I had heard all these, you know, horror stories. Oh, his voice is awful. He shouldn't be doing "Maybe I'm Amazed." He should take all the songs down a step, you know, down a key. It was not nearly as bad as people said. And it wasn't bad at all. I mean,
yeah. And don't believe everything you see on YouTube, too.
And, you know, it's different when you're actually in the room, too.
Yeah, right.
You know, you get people singing along. You get the, you know, sound bouncing off the different, you know, different walls and whatnot. But, you know, he sounded great. And he's out there doing it. And he's doing the songs that most people want to hear. You know, he's not doing a song for, you know, songs for Wings fanatics. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to go up there and do, you know, selections from, you know, Ram. You know, he's not going to do Mockberry Moon Delight or, you know, Eat at Home at this point in his career. He's going to do Let It Be. He's going to do Hey Jude. I mean, come on.
But at the same time, you know, he's gone back and obviously he does the little Love Me Do, and he does, I've heard him do All My Loving and Can't Buy Me Love, and things like that. Yeah. But it's always been curious to me because She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand were so iconically massive for their breakthrough on Ed Sullivan and the American audience. And here's the Beatles. And for me, and maybe it could be a lot just me, but those two tracks were like the beginning of the Beatles' hysteria. And he rarely, I don't know, I don't know if I've ever seen him do it in his current last 20 years touring. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why. You wonder, I saw someone post somewhere that I hear he doesn't really like those songs, which is somebody just posting whatever, but I'm just curious.
You never know what's going through the man's mind. Obviously there might be reasons. There might not be a reason, you know, there might just be, I just want to do these songs. And, you know, the guy's got such an amazing back catalog, solo with Wings and with the Beatles. He could play for 12 hours and he'd be leaving the songs out, you know? But I mean, I remember seeing him in 2005 in LA. and I was with my buddy Michael Simmons. And I think he led the show off with Too Many People from Ram. And I'm like, wow. I was just blown away. I mean, just blown away. And you know, so he'll do stuff like that every now and then. When I saw him, when we saw him in LA on Friday, he changes the set list up a little bit. He did Let Him In.
Oh, yeah.
Which he's not doing on every stop of the tour. He did not do it last night in Fort Worth, from what I saw. But so he'll throw little things in there. And, you know, I find it interesting that some of his biggest hits he either rarely does or never does. I don't know if he's ever performed with a little luck.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. If he has, he hasn't done it very often.
Yeah.
But there's certain, you know, like, as you said, he might not like those songs or whatever. There's certain things where if he doesn't like it, he doesn't talk about it. Like, you rarely hear him mention Back to the Egg, the album.
Yeah, right, right.
Which I think is a great album. It's one of my favorite McCartney records. But it's not one of his favorites for whatever reason that is. And that's why it hasn't been released yet in the archive series. I think maybe he considers it a failure, you know, for Paul McCartney. It only went to number 8 in the charts, you know, after having so many number 1 albums in a row.
Right.
Didn't have a top 10 hit single. But who knows? You know, he's going to do what he's going to do. And if you're a real fan, you should be thankful that he's just out there doing it, you know, and doing it well.
And as you said, his catalog is so huge that he could play for 12 hours straight and still not touch tons of very well-known songs. And he's got, I mean, he's got the ultimate pros backing him up in, you know, his entire backing band. But yeah, even as good as they are, to go out and do shows like that, you got to be rehearsed. You've got to know this stuff and you've got to be ready to do it. So it's not like he can turn to these guys and say, all right, you know what, tonight let's do this. It just doesn't happen like that if you haven't prepared for it. So
the show is so it's on another level as far as preparation and as far as everything, you know, down to the letter. Even some of his stage patter that we saw last Friday was the same exact stage patter as he did in 2019. You know, he stands up, he opened with Can't Buy Me Love, which is amazing. And then he stands back, he goes, wow, this is going to be an amazing night. I just want to stand back and drink it all in. And he stands there and looks at the crowd, and the crowd goes nuts. He did the same exact thing at Dodger Stadium. He drank it all in then. He drank it all in Oakland last week. I mean, in Texas last night. So he's got his stage patter. He sticks with it. And, you know, at this point, when the guy's almost 80, he doesn't need to take chances. He wants to be comfortable and do what he feels right doing and do what he thinks the majority of people want to hear. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who went and saw him in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. You might know Mike Fernandez. He was Walter Clevenger and the Dairy Kings.
Yeah.
Huge McCartney fan. He said there were people sitting around him who had no idea half the songs that Paul was playing. You know, he went into 1985 on his piano, and Mike overheard these people saying, is this a new song? I've never heard this one. So you have to figure those are some of the people he's playing for too.
Yeah.
You know, he's not playing for you and me who would love to hear, you know, Eat at Home or from Revolver or Hey Bulldog, for example.
Yeah.
He's playing for everybody. So
yeah. I still say, if Paul, if you're just like sitting around watching us tonight, if you would start a show off with some Ed Sullivan video and said, ladies and gentlemen, and then overdub it and say Paul McCartney. And if they break into She Loves You, everybody would wet their pants. I'm just saying.
I think he's open with A Hard Day's Night on some of his tours. Yeah. And just that chord. I mean, when I'm playing in Let It Be, our cover band, I hear that chord and I'm like, it's like you get chills.
Yeah.
I mean, I still get chills just hearing that. It's like, wow, you immediately know what it is. You immediately know where it came from. And you immediately feel good if you're any sort of a Beatles fan or pop music fan.
Yeah, you know, and being a huge Beatles fan, as you are, as so many people are, it's amazing to me. You said people at the concert aren't familiar with much of the things he's playing sometimes, but that still shows the power of Paul McCartney, the power of the Beatles. To me, over and above other bands from the era that people are fanatical about, over the Rolling Stones, over the Who,
right,
you know, all these other, the Kinks, you know, massive bands, but to me, they can't hold a candle to just the pervasiveness.
Oh, right.
Of, well, all things Beatles and what they beget.
You know, I have a story about that, and I'm actually going to be making a presentation on my book, The Beatles 100, next week at a local library in Cerritos, California. And I'm going to open by telling this story, and it relates to the pervasiveness of the Beatles. You know, I go out around Fountain Valley here where I live, or I'm DJing, or I'm playing music, and I'm wearing a Beatles cap or a Beatles shirt. Inevitably, whether I'm in the grocery store, at the gas station, at the hardware store, someone will come up. Well, usually they'll say, oh, you must be a Beatles fan, which is kind of silly. But yeah, obviously, yes. But everyone has a story. You know, I saw Paul here. Oh, my mom met George, or this or that. And they always have a story to tell you. And it's always a good story. I lost you for a second.
No.
They always have a story to tell you. It's always a good story. And yeah, you never get people like when I wear my, you know, Kinks t-shirt or my Jellyfish t-shirt, you don't get people coming up generally like you do with Beatles fans. And the story I love to tell, I was in a grocery store about 6 months ago. And sometimes when you're shopping, you tend to see the same person in aisle one, and then you see him again in aisle four, and you see him again by the produce and whatever. Well, I kept running into this woman who had her little daughter, I guess, who's like two or three years old, in the shopping cart with her. Adorable little girl. So I kept seeing him, you know, we'd nod, whatever. So I'm in line, and they end up behind me in line at the checkout counter. And the woman looks at me. I'm wearing, I think, a Beatles shirt and a Beatles hat. Oh, you must be a Beatles fan. We love the Beatles. I'm like, oh, great. She goes, as a matter of fact, my little girl here is named after a Beatles song. And I'm thinking, okay, her name must be Michelle or Jude or Julia or something. And so I say, oh, that's really great. What's her name? Her name is Rocky. After Rocky Raccoon. And I'm like, and she must have seen the look of kind of shock register on my face, because you don't expect to see a little 3-year-old girl. It's unique. And I said, oh, wow. And she goes, yeah, my 7-year-old boy, Paul, named her. Oh, okay. All right.
So everyone has
that kind of stories, but look, you're right.
One block over from me, there are two 8-month-old babies. They're about 6 houses apart. One is named Jude, and yes, for obvious reasons. The other one's named Harrison, obvious reasons. They both said, yes, we're Beatles fans. And
Well, you know, Lisa Michaels and Tom Richards, their son is named Harrison.
Yep.
After George. Yep. I have another friend who's a musician, Frank Royster, out of South Carolina, I believe. He has a son named McCartney. And I have another friend of mine who named his son Lennon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I follow this one vlog of, what the heck's the guy's name? He was in-betweeners and whatnot. But they have two young boys, and they're Jude and Harrison, which is, you know, obviously his homage to all things Beatles. But what I find also interesting is when I talk to what I call the younger generation, to me, say 26 to even like 35, 38, that I work every once in a while at a restaurant, and like the wait staff could be like 22 to like 35. I'm way older than that. But you can talk to them about the Beatles, and they'll give you words like "She loves you" and "I want to hold your hand" and "Can't buy me love," and they'll know that. But I'll say to you, but how about all those great early '60s movies like The Music Man, Oklahoma, South? They'll look at me and go,
"What?
Never saw them." I don't. Yeah. Even had recently, I said "The Sound of Music." I said, "You got to love that one." And this girl, she might have been maybe 26. She's like, "I never saw it."
That's a DB's album, isn't it? The Sound of Music.
But it's just. It's just those are iconic films from that period. I mean, I grew up chitty chitty bang bang. Most people look at me like, what do you speak in gibberish? I mean, I grew up with those, as you did. Those films were iconic. And people, the younger generation, have no clue what they're about. Couldn't give me $1 million to tell me anything about them, but they can still rattle off Beatle numbers or Beatle songs from those albums.
And I think that speaks to the strength and the enduring quality of all the songs. I mean, you're right. That's my friend Chris Poole from Texas, who we could have had twins, O Blood D and O Blood Da. That would have been great. But no, I think it speaks to the enduring quality of those songs and how you don't need to be a certain age to appreciate them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we go out and we play our shows. We play Yellow Submarine and the little kids go nuts and the older people go nuts. You know, we play songs that you wouldn't think, you know, certain people would know. And you see people singing all the words to Yellow Submarine and they're 25 years old. And I'm like, wow, how do they know that? Everyone knows. I mean, just everyone knows. It's just so all pervasive. And again, it just speaks to the sheer quality of the songs. You know, there's hardly anything out there that the Beatles ever did that's really unlistenable.
Yeah.
I mean, Revolution 9, that's not really a song per se. It's a sound collage. But, you know, there were very rarely any throwaways on their album.
Right,
and all the other bands of that era had throwaway songs to fill out the albums. Even the Stones did.
Sure.
Not the Beatles. You know, they rarely, if ever, had a throwaway.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's amazing because when I was growing up in the 60s and the 70s, and I can remember, especially late 70s, when I was really into a lot of music and collecting, the oldies at that time was the 50s, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was only 20 years prior, but it was still oldies station, oldies music. Oldies wasn't anything on the radio from the 40s, really. It was 50s. Nowadays, oldies is 90s. You know, people don't even talk about 80s at all as far, you know? So now you're reaching way back. So to what the 60s and the Beatles are to kids today would be akin to what like early swing in early 1920s was to us in the 70s. And I don't know how many of us said, oh yeah, I'm really into, you know, some of the Charleston sounds of the early 20s. No, you know, nothing like that. Nothing of the 30s and very little of the crooners of the 40s did we really, you know, love until later on in life. But
yeah, it just kind of started in the 50s, I think, in terms of that enduring sort of quality. And then the 60s is really where it hit. And and then for me, it kind of died off around the mid 80s. I mean, you know, there's obviously good music since the mid 80s. But as far as music that's been really popular and, you know, chart hits, to me, it doesn't have a lot of it. Doesn't have that same enduring quality as
the staying power. Yeah, the staying power. I mean, it's of its time, and many times you hear those songs from a lot of even big hits from the 80s, and you're like, yeah, that was from there. But when we talked to Kimberly Rue last week, from Katrina and the Waves, and Walking on Sunshine is one of those songs though from the 80s that has aged very well. It's still, you know, it's from some that time in that period, but you still don't get tired of it. And you still don't just slough it off because it's in so many TV shows.
Yeah.
So many movies. It's just an iconic smash of a hit, as was
totally enduring, great melody. And it doesn't have, and the crucial thing for me, a lot of these songs of that era had that really horrible gated drum sound and gated 80s
drum
production.
Sound. And that, you know, that overproduction almost.
Yeah. Very slick. I blame Phil Collins for everything, but I think he's, you know, and even McCartney, you know, on Press to Play. It's like, oh, Paul, why? You know, good songs on
like,
that record, but the production was just awful.
It seems like, you know, the music industry gets into a niche through different times and everybody does the same damn thing. And because that's what radio demands, and that's what the public is hearing, and that's, you know, what the younger crowd is going to say. Well, it sounds like everything else that's out right. there. So well, must be good. And
Well, that's, you know, that's how, you know, power pop, right? The late 70s, every record label was looking for the next Knack.
Yeah.
They didn't realize all these bands they were signing didn't really have the songs that the Knack had.
Yeah.
Or that the Beat had, or that 2020 had. But, you know, they were going to sign them anyway, damn it, because, you know, the Knack had a hit. So all these other bands could have hits too. And, you know, we don't have to even promote it.
Exactly.
So they didn't have hits. Same thing with, you know, disco in the mid to late 70s. You know, disco is popular. All of a sudden, the Beach Boys do a disco remake of Here Comes the Night. God help us all. That was awful. And then Paul does, you know, Paul's, which wasn't bad. You know, he did Good Night Tonight.
Right.
And if I want to hear anybody play funky bass in a disco song, it's Paul McCartney.
So that
was cool. But I mean, yeah, a lot of bandwagon jumping. And I think that, you know, in the 80s with the production, you know, kind of dates a lot of those songs for me. But the ones that don't have that,
it does.
Like horrible production, like Walking on Sunshine, like, I don't know, What I Like About You, which is actually right.
late 70s, early 79. 80s. But yeah.
Yeah.
But in that vein where they don't get into, like you said, the gated sound, the very slick production, or there's not a whole lot of keyboards on it. There may be more of the brass or the horn section sounds, which is what Walking on Sunshine carries, is that bop, bop. You can almost hear a horn section right there doing it live, which makes a difference. And David is just checking back in. Let me see if he wants to say anything here as we're getting towards the end of the show.
And you know, I'll also mention while you're doing that, that, you know, that's one great thing about the Beatles songs, that they don't sound dated.
Right.
They do not sound dated at all. There's no lyrical references to, you know, things that, you know, people don't know about. You know, they just don't sound dated.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's why my daughters at 27 and 23, they can sing most every Beatles song if I'm playing it. They just know it. It's just part of everybody's DNA. And it's amazing how it keeps recycling into the youth as nothing else does. Nothing else.
What I'm hearing in the background there, I think somebody wants to listen to Who Let the Dogs Out.
Yes, that's Nova's version of Please Let Me Out.
Right. Help, I need somebody. Yes.
What happens is I have a front porch. It's got 12 windows. All the windows are up, so it's all screens and whatnot. People walk dogs by there, and so Nova's barking. My dog, Chez, doesn't really bark at anything. But they'll just stand there holding their dogs going, oh, look at the cute doggy in the window.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, she's having a heart attack. But you just reminded me real quick while we're here, my friends, I wanted to – where's my thing here? I took a little clip today of walking Chez and Nova, and Nova's a tiny little Chihuahua mix. Mm-hmm. And she has high anxiety of going past this one house because it has a big dog there. And watch this clip. Chez actually grabs Nova's leash and walks her past the house. It's the cutest thing on. Does Chez have your leash, Nova? You got Chez? Okay. You got the leash, don't you, Chez? You gonna get it? Good boy. Good boy, Chez. You're walking Nova. Good boy. House.
Okay, that's got to be the most adorable thing I've seen today. it's like a doggy bodyguard.
It was the cutest thing on the planet, and I was just filming because he was grabbing the leash a little bit, but he didn't do it. But that, and he did it right as I was filming it. We have a question coming in though, John. John, have you ever seen any instances of McCartney playing tracks from Flowers in the Dirt?
Yes, I think that's from Chris again, my friend from Texas, who saw him in Fort Worth last night. I'm trying to think back. I saw him on the Flowers in the Dirt tour. Mm. So he did songs from that album then. I think it was 1990. I saw him at Angel Stadium in Anaheim. And that was the same Paul McCartney show where I looked at the urinal next to me and Brian Wilson was standing there. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. That's Brian Wilson. But I'm not going to stare at him because he's at a urinal, for God's sake. But yeah, he did, what was the hit? He did My Brave Face. He did this one.
Yeah.
He might have done Motor of Love. He did a lot of songs off that record. I'm not sure how many he's done since.
Yeah.
you know, in subsequent
My Brave Face, he used to play pretty consistently.
Great song. I mean, there's some, about half of Flowers in the Dirt, I think, is as good as anything he's done solo, to me. I love My Brave Face. I love this one. You Want Her Too, which, you know, obviously is a song, it could have been John and Paul. And we're rocking in Liverpool.
Oh, live from Liverpool.
I tell you what, we kind of lost it. I've been to IPO Liverpool three times. If you haven't gone, anybody out there watching, it really is a great time to book a week in Liverpool and not only do all the Beatles stuff everywhere, which is so cool, but to be able to go to the Cavern all day and all night and really see a lot of really good bands playing one after another. Every 40 minutes, there's a new band on stage at the Cavern Pub and the Cavern Club. And you can, when I first went there, he actually had four venues on Matthew Street that had bands going all at the same time. I mean, I remember Stone Cake. You remember Stone Cake? A great, great band. They played the Cavern Pub. Oh, Dave said, bring me up. Hold on a second. We'll get back to this in 1 second. There we go. Hey!
David, we're at the Cavern Pub tomorrow. 6 p.m.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
We're still live on Material Issues. Everyone, give a big shout out. That's right. We are Material Issues on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock UK time, which is 6 o'clock Eastern time in the States and 3 o'clock Pacific time in the States. And give it up one more time for James Clark Institute, all the way from Toronto, Canada. That's power pop, like drawn up on a chalkboard. Check out their album, The Color of Happy. You can get it on either CD or vinyl, or both, if you happen to collect both, which I do. So there you go. Well, everybody laughs at my, what is with you guys laughing at my introductions? No, you are not getting away with that. All right, we've got lots. Well, we don't have lots more for you tonight. We do in quality, though. We don't, not in quantity. We only have one band left for you tonight at International Pop Overthrow, and they have come from Portsmouth, and they do power pop as well. Yeah, we've been in this power pop zone, and it's going to continue with the Stay Awakes up next. So please stay awake. Thank you.
Please stay awake with the Stay Awakes. Yeah. Now you look good. Now you're going back to towel off and get something to drink.
We got a member of the Stay Awakes for you. They're about to go on.
Hey! Good to see you. Have a great set. Have a great set.
You probably can't hear. They're saying have a great set.
Oh, thank you very much. Cheers.
They will. I have full confidence in that. So, all right. Whoa. Hey, you know, we try here.
How was the evening, David? How was the shows?
No, it's not done yet. There's one band, but yeah, it's been great. I mean, the crowd really picked up, and the bands have been awesome, especially in this power pop section. Somebody's saying hello to me. Who am I looking at?
Hello, thanks.
Rena.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks very much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. No, you guys are great. It's Karma, it's cool. Here on Material Issues.
Karma, it's cool. Good band.
Our podcast.
Good band.
Yeah, it's Karma, it's cool. It's very, well, cool. There you go. James Clark Institute. Yeah, please do. Yes, absolutely. So here's the view from right back at the bar. The crowd's definitely picked up. I mean, it's been, because of COVID, the crowds haven't been quite what they've been, but they're still pretty good. I mean, this is a Wednesday night at midnight. I mean, how often do you see people at midnight out, especially people our age? Forget it. Maybe on the weekend, maybe, but not on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So I'm sure this place is going to be going crazy on Saturday.
Good.
Let's see what we have. Here we go.
Chris Poole from Texas says you're looking good. And John Kirby says you have to go to IPO UK with Robbie Risk. John Kirby's full of crap, obviously. And John Kirby says a highlight of his is mixing the Griffins at IPO Liverpool.
Pretty cool. We were able to see the display of the Mersey Beach display that we have here. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, most of the real cool stuff is on the front stage. But I think if I go out there, I'm going to completely lose it. Because the router is in the office, which is in this room. Hey.
Yeah, you're getting choppier. You're getting choppier.
I see you pretty well. Am I all right now?
Yeah, you're choppy.
Let's see if I can get some people out here and say hi. Am I still choppy?
No, you're getting a little better now.
A little dark.
All right.
A little dark.
We've got our good friends here, David Wilcox, Terry Darrington, Jackie, yeah. So this is Material Issues. You do know, okay. Previous international pop over culture. Let's see who else I can get to say hello here. Well, I guess I don't really know the rest of you people, so.
It's all good.
Right. Richard Benyama from Benyama.
I
know.
I've seen them in New Jersey a lot. Yeah.
From the Haddonfield area. John Borak, power pop expert extraordinaire. There's Maki from Benyama also.
Nice to see
you
guys.
How do you guys feel about being out here? Absolutely. No, it's great that you guys are here, and I can't wait to see your set.
Thank you.
All right, you got that?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. Let's see if we know anybody else. Oh well, of course, Rena needs to say hello.
Yes, sir. Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena. Where's your sign that says twat with the arrow? You're not holding it?
They want to know where the twat sign went. I really would love to buy that, but it's theirs.
Come on.
There's actually a town in Scotland, I think, with that name. Is that right?
You should have her carrying that sign around everywhere you go.
Hey. It's kind of like wearing a t-shirt that says I'm with stupid with the air.
Exactly. That was what we were trying to do.
I love it. People say you're looking good.
Thanks. Yeah, this is our fourth day. Oh, thank you, whoever's saying that. This has been our fourth day, so we're just about halfway through. We would be halfway through, but the next three out of the next four days are long days. We only had one long day so far, the first Sunday, and Monday through Thursday, we started at 5:30, but then Friday through Sunday, we started around noon, actually, and go all the way till 1 a.m., so,
nice.
But I have to say, I mean, I missed the front stage, but being only on the back, well, for once, it's much more relaxing. I don't have to run between stages to give it up an intro. I get to see everybody's full set, which is one of the biggest regrets we really had. I have my laptop here, which has been very, very helpful. I've been able to do a lot of work at the same time as, watching the show. That was something that on the front stage was impossible. The merch table was too small, and I was liable to have beer poured all over the laptop, so that wasn't going to happen.
Dave, but, if there's anything good at the merch table, bring back a copy of each for me and Mark.
Sure, why not?
One of everything. One of everything. That would be the gentlemanly thing to do.
That would be the rich man's thing to do, and I can't do that. The paraphrase of men who made this place famous.
Well, David, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for checking in from Tavern Club. 52 episodes, 1 year. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. We look forward to next Wednesday from what, London?
Yeah, we'll be from London. I don't have a guest as of yet, but I'm going to ask a couple of people. If not, you know, we'll do our thing.
Talk about IPOs, Liverpool, and everything you want. So have a great night, David. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, are you gonna wrap it up?
Yep.
All right. Yep. All right. Well, everyone, whoever's listening, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to at least make this work to some degree. This would have been impossible a few years ago, even if we were doing material issues. We couldn't have broadcast, but the Wi-Fi's gotten better, and so it's workable. Mark, John, thanks so much. We will have a great rest of your day, and Mark, of course, I will see you next week for episode 53.
Have a great one. Be safe. Enjoy. Hi, love you, Rena.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, he was getting a little choppy there. I didn't want to keep... keep things chopping around, but real quick,
that's so much fun. You know, it's a dream of mine to go to Liverpool, of course, being a Beatles fan.
I think as I was telling you, it's so much fun to do it during IPO because you can do all the Beatles stuff kind of in and around and in between seeing some really great music there. I told you Stone Cake, they played the Cavern Pub one night, and the two bands that were supposed to go on after them didn't show up for whatever reason. So not only did they play their full set of the best of their at the time, I guess they had two CDs out, but they stayed around and they played for the next 2 hours.
Wow.
And it was just all power pop covers, the best of Beatles, Badfinger, The Who, The Kinks. They knew it all. And had that place absolutely rocking until 1:30 in the morning. It was unreal. But I mean, I've seen so many great bands at the Cavern. One of my favorites I saw was Rick Corcoran of the Orgone Box, I'm a huge Orgone Box fan. Many little instances like that. And, anybody watching, if you could ever get over to Liverpool and do the Beatles thing, do it during IPO week, and you can just double your pleasure. Yeah.
I mean, I know David loves all the IPOs that he does, but I know he has a special fondness for Liverpool because I think what he's able to bring there is really the spirit of what IPO is intended to be. And I think people really appreciate it as such. Yeah. You know, I mean, and just, you know, the number of bands that, you know, have come from the United States and Canada, you know, Plastic Soul, Brenyama. I know there's some others who are going. I know the Armoires have been. Hopefully they'll be going again now that I'm their drummer. Hopefully we'll be going back one day. But, I mean, where else are you going to be able to get an opportunity to play at the Cavern Club?
Right.
You know, you can't just call the Cavern Club and say, hey, you know, I want to book a show. It doesn't happen that way. Yeah. So IPO and David, you know, they give people the opportunity to go there and sort of, you know, for a lot of people, it's fulfilling a lifelong dream, and it's really cool.
Yeah, indeed. And as you said, you can't just call the Cavern and say, here's some of our YouTube videos. We want to come play the Cavern. It doesn't happen that way. Now, you know, this year they've got the front stage not available. In years past, it's always been both stages. Front stage is pretty much dedicated to special performances and 95% all Beatles bands or Beatles, whatever. And so you only get the backstage available. So being able to be a part of IPO, as you said, and play the Cavern Club and be a part of Matthew Street and Liverpool and everything about it, if you're a Beatles nut, a power pop nut, it's just a great opportunity for any band to do it. And it's a memorable one. You hear it all the time. You hear it from a lot of people saying, you know, it was such a blast. Thank you so much, David, for letting us play here, which is
yeah. Great. I mean, just being there, it's, you know, it really is a part of history. Just being in that venue and around there is amazing.
It really is. And in my experiences there, just being around the whole Beatles, Matthew Street, and just walking all over Liverpool, the Liverpool Cathedral is gorgeous. Everything about it is just so down at the Albert Dock, and everywhere you go is just, holy shit, this is this. Oh, Strawberry Fields. Oh, Penny Lane. Oh, it's just,
I hope to go back there and find out how many holes it really does take to fill the Albert Hall.
I started to count. I got tired.
well, you hit the wall, so you couldn't.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining me tonight on 52nd episode of Material Issues. I appreciate your time. I appreciate all the Beatles talk. And, of course, with David live from the Cavern. As David said, he'll be in London next Wednesday. So he'll be live from London. He's not actually at a venue. And we don't have an actual guest next week at this time. A lot of things are on the burner for the summer months. So everybody stay tuned here on Facebook. Join the group or over on YouTube, materialissues.com. And we'll alert you who's coming up. You can always watch the archives of the last 51 and now 52 episodes. So thanks again, John. Have a great night. And we'll see everybody soon. Stay happy. Stay healthy.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers.